Back. Good to see you. Last week we began to explore evangelism, and by looking at a talk by given by Archbishop Makarios of Kenya, and in that talk he quoted from St. John Chrysostom. Let us strive to persuade others with our lives and not with mere words. Because even if we can speak very philosophically, but we do not give an example of godly life, there is no profit at all. Unbelievers pay more attention to our deeds than to our words. If we describe to them the glories of eternity, but we remain attached to earthly enjoyments, we are contradicting ourselves. St. John Chrysostom speaking. Archbishop Makarios adds that the primary qualification for evangelizing is, quote, a personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that in accordance with the teachings of our Holy Orthodox Church. And he adds, this implies a serious concern by the would-be evangelist for his spiritual progress. Otherwise, how can he benefit someone else and invite him to know Christ if he neglects himself and displays obvious defects in his life? The words of our Lord are striking. And he quotes then from Luke 6, Lord speaking. How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? Obviously then, one of the best ways, if not the best way, to evangelize is to evangelize by our actions. But inherent in all of this, evangelization by actions, is the premise that the one that we seek to evangelize is aware that we are an Orthodox Christian. It's possible that we are so private, so unwilling to allow others to know much about us, that even though we are a good example of an Orthodox Christian, it is unavailing as to evangelism. We may feel knowledge is power, and it's true. Knowledge is power, and the more knowledge we give someone about us, the more power they have over us. And so maybe we then become vulnerable to being thought less of because we're Christians, and particularly Orthodox. Maybe we're vulnerable as being not too smart, or at being laughed at, or even at being ridiculed. But the Lord addressed us in the Beatitudes, and we just saying them. He says this in the fifth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What are we to do? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Also, when people know that we are an Orthodox Christian, it does force us to alter our own lifestyle. And maybe that's why we don't want people to know we're Orthodox. Huh? We may lose, for example, elections because we have to uphold the teachings of Christ and of the Church. Well, that's we're compartmentalizing everything in America nowadays. And we can be doing that same compartmentalizing. We know that we have politicians, unfortunately even Orthodox ones, in Congress, who vote for all kinds of hideous, sinful policies. And yet they profess to be Orthodox. Maybe best they not be known to be Orthodox, as to lead others astray. But if we're known to be Orthodox, maybe it means we'll have to forego gossiping at work, being mean or petty at school, telling white lies, if there is such a thing. We may have to forego a Sunday morning activity with our friends because we come to liturgy. We may have to order the salad when we go to lunch on a Wednesday or Friday because our friends know we're Orthodox, and then we should be fasting. But again, all of this presupposes that people know that we are an Orthodox Christian. And we must not be afraid to let people know that we are in fact Orthodox. there's a good, great benefit for people knowing of orthodoxy by knowing that we are orthodox. I don't usually talk about parishioners in the sermon, but this is going to be the exception, Julie. Okay? Julie, can't, don't worry, it's not bad. When she got promoted to lieutenant colonel, she said, Father Joseph, will you come and give the benediction? And I said, listen, you know I only have one version. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. She said, that's why I'm asking, I asked you. And so we went there. Okay? And I wore my podryasnik and pectoral cross. And you'd be surprised the number of people who, after the ceremony, talked to me about orthodoxy and what it meant to be orthodox. And it was the springboard to discuss with them the true faith, which they never would have had that opportunity if we hadn't been present and let people know that we're orthodox. Some may say, though, but I never heard of this evangelization in the Orthodox Church before. Isn't it an invention of the Protestants? Aren't we taught that it's not polite to discuss politics or religion? I don't even like to bless myself before grace in public. Won't people think that we're trying to impress them? We already heard from St. John Chrysostom on the matter of evangelization. Let us see what Scripture has to say. And we'll look first at two of the Psalms. And in the 51st Psalm, it's written at the 13th verse. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Let's look at the 96th Psalm, second verse. Sing to the Lord and bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations and His wonders among all peoples. Those are admonitions in the prayer. We pray, those are like prayers. We're saying that when we pray the Psalms. Let's see what the prophet Jeremiah has to say in the 31st chapter. Hear the words of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off. And of course, we have the Great Commission from Jesus, found in Matthew's Gospel in the 28th chapter. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Evangelism, okay, is a command not only for us as a church, but for us individually. And the commandment to evangelize is not new at all. Evangelism is the calling of each of us individually and as the church as a whole to bring the good news to everybody else. And it begins with the bringing of the good news to our families and to our friends and to all of those that we encounter. Not in a shrill voice, but in sharing the faith in a way of kindness and of love. If we were to see a man starving, would we not give him food to eat? I would hope so. If we saw a man that was in thirst in the desert and we had water, would we not give it to him? I would hope so. And there are so many of our fellow citizens, people all around us, family, friends, co-workers, who are starving and thirsting for the truth. They're going to hear you, not me. You're going to meet with them. Probably I'll never meet them. And so you see that it's the call to all of us to evangelize. One of the best things is to simply say what God has done for us in our lives. That's one of the easiest ways. Just talk about God. What He means to you and what He's done for you in your life. And people will come to that. And don't be afraid to share your faith. The fellow that gives us the free telephone service, okay, who, if some of you I didn't tell you, also sent us a check for $400 toward the church again this past year, right at the end of 2008. 2009. We go to lunch periodically, and he waits for me to say grace. And I say, Christ God, bless the food and drink of thy servants. Not some generic, you know, grace, O Lord, as thy name may be. Okay, but rather Christ God. He's not offended. It's not done in a nasty or insensitive way to him. It's who I am. And I say that to you not to, oh, Father Joseph, one great God. But people won't be offended. They won't. And if they do, you'll see. They may go away and meditate upon what you talked about and find that they want some of that peace that you have. When we went to the fair last year, I was in error the same as most of us who went. We thought we had to be theologians. They were going to come up to us with all kinds of theological discussions. And really what they wanted to do was see the beauty and the glory of our icons and ask us about orthodoxy. You know, what's an Orthodox church? Are you Greek? Okay. That was a favorite question. And that was a springboard for us to talk with them about the joy and the glory of the true faith. And so it's the same way as we deal with our family and our friends. And the parisher, we give the opportunity to evangelize by having the exhibit at the fair, which gives us 12 days for 13 hours a day for us to give of our time and our talent to share the faith with others. It's not like we're doing anything spectacular. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. For example, when we go to the fair. You also know we have our project, and we'll be talking about that in a few weeks, of sending 3 people to Africa as short-term missionaries. There's not a big deal. Scripture says, and when we have done all that which was required of us, then should we say, we are your most unworthy servants. We have only done that which was our duty. It's our duty to be at the fair. To allow these people for a moment of their distraction at the fair to look upon something that brings to mind God. It's our duty to send teachers to Tanzania to work with the Orthodox who are there to train catechumens and to train religious education directors and leaders. And of course, it's our duty to send medical people to Kenya, to Uganda to treat them. It's so bad. I just read in the paper there that the government is now cracking down in northern Uganda, where God willing we'll be going, on human sacrifice, because the witch doctors have resorted to human sacrifice as a way of making money by people thinking that they have all these cures. It's unbelievable. We have the duty to witness to Jesus Christ, even in those places. And so also, though, we have the duty to witness to Jesus Christ and to Orthodoxy in our school, in our job, in our family, and in our among our friends. That's our obligation. One of the best things to do is, as we said, was simply say what God has done. And one of the best ways for theirs, how do we prepare for that? First, by prayer. Nothing is accomplished without prayer. By fasting. Fasting focuses us. By study. We should know the basic tenets of our faith. Things like, why do we pray? Basic as that. Why do we fast? Why are our icons allowed? What are sacraments? Go to our website. You can click on About Orthodoxy on our webpage. It's a hidden link to the OCA and all the questions, answers, little paragraphs about the faith. There's just a lot of things you can learn there that you may not have known. So let's then commend ourselves to evangelism as St. Paul did, and with the effort, endurance, and perseverance that he did. And this is St. Paul writing in the 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. He says, we give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed, But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, and in distress. You say, well, but that's talking about ministers. The Lord has created each of us to be what? The part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Okay? We're all called upon. Let's go on. In stripes and in imprisonment, in tumults and labors, in sleeplessness and in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. As Paul endured all kinds of things. When we were at Ephesus last year, remember we went into the amphitheater where Paul's friends were like on trial. And Paul, he wanted to go there, right? And his other friends, are holding him back. Oh, no! Are you kidding? Get out of here. They're going to put you to death. What's wrong with you? You can't go in there. And Paul was ready to go to suffer whatever it took. And so we have to likewise be willing to do that. He says, how? By the word of truth and sincere love, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, we have been put to shame. And yet, well knowing, as dying and beyond we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. We possess the pearl of great value. Our faith, the orthodox faith, the true faith. And it is our duty to share that pearl of great value with all that we encounter. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Good to see you back, Carmen.